Have we gotten to the point where C.J. Stroud is now underrated? I'm Luke Morrow in for Reggie alongside John Lopez and Figgy Fig. Reggie will be back tomorrow here on In the Loop. You can always text the show. Join the conversation 713-572-4610. We've been talking about these lists over the past week plus, but ESPN's been putting out top 10 rankings for each position in the NFL, one position per day. They've been polling executives, coaches, scouts, and through that voting system, they rank the top 10 at each position group. Well, today, they did the top 10 quarterbacks, which is certainly one of the more interesting lists. If I were to ask you guys just top of the head, if you were to think about it, where would you slot C.J. Stroud right now? Even, and it doesn't have to be a specific number, but maybe a range. Like, where do you feel Stroud would fit in for top quarterbacks in the league right now?
I will probably say, my personal opinion, not thinking what everybody else is thinking, I will probably have him between 8 and 12.
Okay.
Somewhere around there, like barely in the top 10, maybe outside the top. I will have him around there between 8 and 12.
I don't think I would have him out of the top 10. Maybe 8, 9, or 10. But you guys know how I feel about his season last year. I think people are looking at it all wrong. You know, I thought he did really, really well given the circumstances and the environment that he was thrown into with the coordinator in the line. We know the story.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, yeah, I'll leave it at that, 8, 9, or 10.
Okay, so you guys are
and that's being fair to, you know, the guys that have had really good years lately.
Not trying to be biased either.
Yeah,
I'm
right,
not trying to be biased, but I think it's fair to say him 8, 9, 10. I would even go far as to say 11.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's funny you say that because you're pretty much right in line with the way this ranking went or how these executives view him. Stroud did not make the top 10, but he's number one for honorable mentions, which therefore I assume would put him at number 11.
Mm-hmm.
So they have him at number 11. Now, the explanation, they say the voting for spots 8 through 11 was really close. Stroud appeared on nearly half of the ballots, but struggled to capture the same momentum that landed him in the number 7 spot last year. While his production was down in most categories, he had to overcome issues with the offense. Most doubters expect him to be back in the top 10 next year. And then also they have a quote from an NFL quarterbacks coach who said, "It can affect your confidence when the protection and the play calling around you isn't great. It can all tie together, but the framework of what made him great his rookie year is still there. He's such a natural thrower of the football with elite ball placement."
Yeah, I don't think any of that is unfair from the explanation to the quote from an executive. But again, I wouldn't have him out of the top 10, and I'll get to that in just a second, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, I might beat you there because I probably would, if you asked me, I probably would have said somewhere around 10. But then once they put this ranking out there and I was looking at it, and we'll get to the names right ahead of him, and I was thinking, I'd rather have Stroud than
this
guy.
That's what I was going to ask.
I'd rather have him than this guy. And this guy too. And then I was thinking, maybe I was underrating him by thinking he's the 10th best.
That's exactly what I was going
to say. That's where I meant to say too. Mm-hmm. Like, if I see the list and be like, oh, Trevor Lawrence, what? No way he's better than, I don't even know if he, I don't think he's on the top 10, but. Yeah.
Let's go through it. I have the list open here that that you brought, Luke. So let's stop when you wouldn't take C.J. Stroud over this quarterback.
Now, are we doing just talent or like circumstances and salaries?
Who would
you
take? Keep it simple.
Okay.
Who would you take this year? Given, you know, don't even worry about their age or anything. Just would you take C.J. Stroud or this dude? Actually, I'm going to throw a couple of the honorable mentions in there as well. Jordan Love, who was also on honorable mention.
Okay.
I think Love is overrated. I'm taking Stroud over Jordan Love 8 days a week.
Kyler Murray.
Nah.
I would still go with Stroud.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going with Stroud.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy.
Stroud.
Stroud, yes.
All right, let's get into the top 10 list now. Number 10, Baker Mayfield.
I love Baker Mayfield, but no, if you're giving me a quarterback for the upcoming season, I think Stroud, CJ, has a higher ceiling. I'm going Stroud.
Yeah, I kind of question Baker Mayfield when it's time to win.
Mm-hmm.
Win. I don't know if he can do that. I feel like CJ Stroud can overtake that. So I'm going to take CJ Stroud.
Now, keep in mind, 9-8, you might take over Stroud, but there's others ahead of him.
Yeah.
9 is Jalen Hurts.
This one's tough, honestly.
It is tough.
Yeah. I know Hurts, obviously, the guy's a winner, and he seems to be a good leader, and he got the whole the tush push and all that sort of stuff. But if we're talking like quarterback position, he doesn't throw for over 200 yards a lot. I know he's a dual threat, but they have a lot of things going on. You have Saquon Barkley this past year. It's tough because of the success he's had with the Eagles and how much they've won. But if I'm trying to pick a quarterback with the overall skill set of a quarterback, like throwing ability, pocket awareness, and all this sort of stuff, and you take Hurts off the Eagles and you have to put them on just a general team, my point being, I think Stroud overall, when you factor in all the parts of a quarterback, is more talented. So even though he doesn't have the wins-loss success as much of Hurts, I think I'm still taking Stroud over Jalen Hurts.
This one's tough, man.
It's tough.
Like, to the point, I'm ready to say Jalen Hurts because he's from Channel View. Mm-hmm. Just a Texas boy, he like crawfish, so that's why I would take him over the California.
Solid reasoning, Figgy.
Yeah, I'll take him over CJ, the California boy.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I agree with Luke. I think overall, if you look at all the body of work, because think about it like this. If CJ was on the Eagles, how would that look?
Mm-hmm.
And I think CJ will probably win MVP if he was on the Eagles, if he had that same squad. So I will go with CJ.
It's very, very, very tough. Very, very, very close. I'm going to take the other side just because I don't want to be one of those guys.
With the pom-poms.
Not pointing any fingers here. Who has literally never given Jalen Hurts the credit he deserves. Like from high school. Ever has he gotten the credit.
Yeah.
He throws a very accurate ball like C.J. Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good on the deep ball like C.J. Stroud. And he's better in terms of whatever you want to call leadership and certainly powerful runner and all that.
Overcame a lot, too, overcame man. A lot.
I think I would slightly take Jalen Hurts this season going in. Number eight, Jared Goff.
No, I'm taking Hurts, you can convince me. I'm taking Stroud. I am not a Jared Goff guy. I think he really benefited from having maybe the best offensive line in football. Mm-hmm. He had all day back there. And then you have Ben Johnson, who was a good play caller. I mean, Sean McVay, got tired of Goff, got rid of him. Mm-hmm. And when Goff first got to Detroit, it wasn't what we saw once Ben Johnson started calling the offense. So I assume the Lions and Goff are going to take a step back this year without Ben Johnson. He's going to be, for lack of a better term, exposed a little bit. But no, I'm not a Goff guy. Give me Stroud over Jared Goff.
Yeah, I'm with Jared Goff. I'm kind of I had the same feelings I had with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Like, you have a cool regular season. That's cool and all, but what do you do when it's time to get in the playoff? Can you win a game?
Yeah.
And I just don't see him winning a game, man. I'd rather have CJ Stroud.
I'm with you. I'd take CJ Stroud. So really just one so far for me.
Yeah.
And none for y'all. Number seven, Justin Herbert.
So this one's tough for me, too. But the problem with Herbert is that, for one, it's almost become like just this group thing. It's like a cult. Everyone's so into Herbert. And I get the ability. Everyone loves the potential and the skill set and the ability. But you got to show me something. And it's been, I think, what, already 5 years? And he has nothing to show for in terms of playoff success. And they choked away that game to the Jaguars. And then when he went up against Stroud in the playoffs, Stroud looked a lot better, and Herbert threw four interceptions. So I like Justin Herbert. I like the idea of Justin Herbert. But at a certain point, I can't just keep banking on potential. I need to see reality. And Herbert just hasn't done it for me. So this is one that, admittedly, I would debate. But I think I'm taking Stroud over Herbert.
Yeah, I'm not taking Stroud over Herbert either, man. Just kind of the same.
Taking Herbert, you mean?
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not taking Herbert. I just think, like I said, he have a cool regular season, but to me, I just feel like he don't do it in the playoffs, and I feel like a lot of people are so in love with him so much. I'm just like, damn, I really don't see it like that. Man. I do think he's a good quarterback. I do think he's I think he could be in the top 10 for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I just I feel like CJ would, if he had the weapons, I think he could be just as good.
You guys know I'm a big Herbert fan. I think he can be great, but he hadn't been. I'll take CJ Stroud. Number six, Matthew Stafford.
And we talking about right now.
Right now. Forget the ages. Who'd you take?
If we're talking Well, forget the ages.
If we're taking the ages out, the money and all that stuff, I think Matthew Stafford.
I'm taking Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I guess so. If they were the same age, I think I'm taking Stafford. That's another tough one for me, though. But, yeah, I guess Stafford. But then, of course, if we do consider where they are at this point in their career, I would much rather have, even if it's just for 1 year.
Sure.
Not, you know, for the rest of their career. If it's just for this 1 year, I think Stroud's in a better position than Stafford right now. But historically, maybe. I guess I'd go Stafford.
And here's the interesting one. I'm with you guys. Jaden Daniels.
That's a tough one, too. Daniels, though, he's this year. Stroud was 7 on this list last year. Daniels is 5, so they like him even a little more. But he's this year's Stroud. I think he will have a sophomore slump. I think he will take a step back. He's in that same conversation, though. I don't know if I can say Stroud is, you know, headed like a lot better. I think they're pretty similar. So, I don't know. It's another good debate. Maybe I'd go Jaden Daniels because we haven't seen the step back like we saw from Stroud, even though there's a lot more that goes into that. But I expect it will come this year. So maybe I'd take Jaden Daniels, but I think that's another one that I would really have to debate.
I will probably take Jaden Daniels, to be honest. I think just for the simple fact that brother can run. He uses his legs. And that's the one thing we kind of criticize CJ over a little bit. He don't use his legs enough. But right now, the way he was playing last season and using his legs and all that stuff, I would take him over CJ.
I'm with you. I think it's very, very close. All these are. But he did more with less, you know, in his rookie year than CJ Stroud did. The top four, we don't necessarily have to argue. Four is Lamar Jackson. No one would take CJ there. Joe Burrow, I think very few would take CJ over Joe Burrow, or would you?
No, I'm not. And
number two is Josh Allen. Number one is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I'm not taking CJ.
But the point is, like, he's already getting really people use this word too. Disrespected? Is that what it is?
I know. I think so. Like, based off of that exercise, I would have him, I guess, like top 7, top 6, I think is where I would have put him, 7th or 6th. They had him 11th on this list. Yeah, I think so. I think part of it, too, is Jaden Daniels. It's like the flavor of the month type of the flavor of the week type of thing where it was all about Stroud this time last offseason, and then Daniels comes along, and now, you know, everyone's all, he's the great young quarterback. So I think that also pushes Stroud aside where you kind of forget what CJ did 2 years ago because Jaden Daniels just did it, and we're all excited about him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think certainly there's some disrespect, some underrating because of how last season went, but simply based off of, like, potential, ceiling, skill set, I think he's top, like I said, probably top 7 quarterback in the league, top 6. I think he's better than Jared Goff, certainly right now better than Stafford moving forward in this point in their careers, I would say. Better than Jordan Love. In the same conversation with Jaden Daniels, I would say even Jalen Hurts. So, yeah, I think there is some, you know, being underrated right now across the league.
I would pretty much keep the list the same, but move Jalen Hurts to 7 instead of Justin Herbert and then put C.J. Stroud 8. Then you can argue all you want.
And C.J. is 11? Is he?
He's 11 right now.
Okay.
I'd move him up to 8 behind. I'd keep Hurts there. I mean, it's just hard to argue with everything that he's done. And the skills, you know, the skills are always overlooked. And then you know, move him to 6, Jalen Hurts, C.J. at 7, and then move Matthew Stafford, I guess, up. So.
Yeah.
But he's there. He belongs to be there.
Oh, he should. Yeah, certainly. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to find this. ESPN.com put out an article this morning about CJ Stroud. And as I referenced earlier, him working on his body this offseason. And I was trying to find the quote. I saw it this morning when I read this article. But now, of course, when you're on the air and you're trying to multitask, I can't find this quote. But he talked about trying to improve his speed and trying to slim down C.J. Stroud so he could move more in the pocket and elude some of the pass rush and the sacks. And I just, when I read it, I thought, like, that's kind of sad. It's almost like when you hear a kid say, like, I got to get home and make dinner before mom gets home from work. And I feel kind of bad because it's like, man, you're not supposed to have to worry about that. You're just a kid. You're supposed to be just a kid. And it's similar with Stroud where it's like, man, you shouldn't have to worry about picking up the slack from the offensive line. Where Stroud was saying, like, I want to be in better shape so I can avoid more sacks. And it's like, you just need to worry about being a quarterback, and, like, throwing the football and not have to worry about doing the offensive line's job for him. I read that quote. I wish I could find the exact quote. I'll look for it again in the commercial break. But I read that quote this morning. I was like, man, I just kind of, it just speaks to the situation that he was in last year. I feel bad for him.
Just imagine if Big Ben played here. Oh. So he will have to slim down a little bit to kind of avoid the sacks more. Yeah.
I know it. So anyways, that's part of, you know, the drop in Stroud, who was 7th in the ranking a year ago to now 11th going into this season. We'll see where he is at year's end, but I think certainly he's better than the 11th top quarterback in the NFL. You can let us know your thoughts, 713-572-4610. Man, it's already that time of the show. We got to get to Figgy's mixtape. Figgy, what do we got going on today?
Yeah, so George Strait announced he's doing a Straight to the Heart benefit concert for Texas Flood Relief. I'll give you more information on that. Plus, what's a card game or board game you would like to see in a Las Vegas casino? 713-572-4610.
All right. That's a good question. Awesome. We'll do it next. It's In the Loop.
Yep, it's the mixtape In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Monday. Happy Monday to everyone out there. So I think it was last week, Lopez. Did you
that fake story?
Yeah, did you talk about the fake story with George Strait?
Yeah, it drove me nuts.
Yeah, yeah. So this one, I don't think it's fake.
No, it's real.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. This one is real. So George Strait announced that he is coming through for his home state of Texas as he announced the Straight to the Heart benefit concert that would directly help all the families and people and everything that happened in the Hill Country, the flood that happened on July 4th. And he mentioned this is what they released in, a press release. Mm-hmm. It said the goal with this event is to raise meaningful, immediate support that could be put directly into the hands of the flood victims without delay, while also honoring the first responders that worked tirelessly to save lives. And a little more information about this this concert. George will be joined by Riley Green, Jamie Johnson, Hudson Westbrook, and many more. Mm-hmm. And the donor dinner and concert will take place July 27. What's the name in this city?
Bernie? Yeah, Bernie, Texas.
Is it pronounced Bernie?
Yeah.
Okay. Bernie, Texas. Mm-hmm. And
just west of San Antonio.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I never heard of that city. So all of the $1,000 tickets have been sold out, sold already, but they still had, some $2,500 tickets, and they have $5,000 tickets, which is reserved seatings.
Yeah. And I'm sure they're going to have other ways to donate. Hopefully it'll be, you know, televised or at least shared a lot where people can donate. This thing, you know, just sort of a mini confession within your segment here. I can't even look at these videos anymore, man, of the stories of some of these people. We all know people that have been affected. I was telling you guys off air, you know, good friend of mine had 5 members of his family, I found out Thursday, I believe, lost in the floods. And you mentioned also the first responders and volunteers. You know, Captain Scott Null, who, you know, comes on my Bite Me Fishing podcast every week, he's been down there a week now, volunteered, and he's, you know, obviously he's got some first responder experience as former HPD, but he's been tractoring stuff and digging and finding things, you know, don't even want to know some of the things that he's found. And good for George Strait. It was pretty sorry for someone to fabricate
that fake story.
Yeah, last week, and now I got to believe they're going to be able to raise every bit of what they need right there.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Nah, this is a cool thing. I would like, and not trying to be selfish or greedy or anything, but I would like to see more artists, more people kind of do some little cool stuff like this.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to just get money and then call it a day, but to actually do something like this and kind of have the little entertainment value in it too.
Yeah.
To kind of give a little relief, because it's nothing you can really do about this. It's tough and a lot of lives was lost, but I think it's kind of cool that he's doing like a little, like a dinner and a special concert, stuff like this. So I would like to see more artists all over.
I hope we will.
To kind of do stuff like that to raise money.
Yeah, I think it's always cool for these guys that, it's easy for me to say sitting here, but like you just have to offer up some time performing your songs, and then it raises so much money for these you know, after these disasters. And we've seen it a bunch where it's whenever things have happened over the years, these musicians always put on these concerts. My point being, like, it seems like such an easy thing for them. Like, go out there, get a few musicians together, do like a 45-minute set, each of you, play a few songs, and it raises a ton of money. It's a great thing. And it's obviously it's a tragedy what happened. It's terrible. It is hard to see the images and all the news to come out of it. But it's... At the same, it's hard to phrase this, but
it can be inspiring.
Yeah, the good thing is when you see people come together afterwards to try to help out in this tragedy. You never want the tragedy to occur, of course, no doubt. But to see the response from people can always be like inspiring, or it's just good to see when people step up to try to help others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So salute to George Strait, man. The real story, not the other fake. Yeah. That fake ass story that happened last week, man, that was making the rounds.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. So, speaking of kind of fake type of stories, Yahoo Sports. I don't know how I feel about Yahoo Sports. I feel like they be tweeting a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
and it's a lot of fake news in it or stuff that's not accurate in it. But they tweeted this, and it kind of got me excited. So they tweeted this: Uno is being added as a table game to casinos in Las Vegas with the little eye emojis. And now the little community notes quickly replied to this and said Uno is not being introduced as a traditional casino game.
The old community notes.
Yeah, for this betting in Las Vegas, it's a part of a special promotional event aimed at enhancing game night experiences. So something like this is kind of happening, but it's not like a real deal type thing. Like, you ain't going to be able to walk into a casino and just play Uno for money.
Yeah.
But it kind of got me thinking, man, what are some games that you think should be added as casino games? It could be board games. It could be other type of card games or shoot, anything that comes to your mind. 713-572-416.
I like this. I've seen this in some off strip, you know, sort of throw down casinos that you wander into. I don't know if it's mainstream in a lot of casinos yet. I'd like to see war. Good old fashioned war.
That was one of my thoughts.
Yeah, just, you know, 52. Now they probably do multiple decks, which is, I guess, I get that. But you flip one, I flip one. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That was one of my thoughts, because that seems like that could be a wild and potentially a lot of fun in a casino when you got money on the line just simply flipping cards, see who has the higher card.
You could go for hours.
Yeah. I like that one. I was going to say, because my family, we were a big Crazy Eights family, which is essentially just like Uno, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's very similar. So that was my first thought, but then I also thought of war. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those would be good.
What about dominoes?
Yes, that would be good. The first thing I thought about was dominoes, spades. Spades would be a good one, too. But I would really love to see Uno in the casino, man.
That would be pretty wild.
That would get a lot of people involved playing. But it would be wild just thinking about playing with maybe four or five players. And you going around in a circle, you slap a draw four on somebody. You'd be ready to kill somebody after that, man. You know how much tension it causes when somebody hits you with a draw four? You can't do anything. Go back around to you, draw two. Yeah. Go back around, another draw four. You just like, what?
What's that one that's on the Price is Right where they drop the thing and it hits all the little... is it Plinko?
Plinko.
Plinko
board, yeah. Yeah.
That could be cool.
That would be really cool.
Yeah. Some other ones I was kind of thinking about is Monopoly.
Oh, that would take forever.
Yeah.
That would take longer than poker.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you got poker, you should have some type of quicker version of Monopoly.
Well, that's true.
Where you could buy properties with chips, charge rent to other players as payouts. And community chess equals surprise multiplayer or penalties and stuff like that. I think that could kind of be fun.
Battleship.
Battleship was great.
That was a good game.
Yeah. That actually came in on the text line.
It did?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You'd be sitting there like E6.
That
was a good call. Yeah. And if they could have the sound effects too.
Yeah.
Text line also said Risk. And Stratego?
Yeah.
That one I didn't know. Yahtzee also came in.
Yeah, they got. I actually had Risk on this list I got. mm-hmm. where area controls with chip investments, players invade with bets and dice rolls and all that stuff.
Yeah. I never did. I never played Risk. I never got into Risk. It seemed too like serious for a kid's board game. I was more of a Chutes and Ladders, Candyland type of kid. I didn't want to get into Risk. I didn't even like Monopoly all that much.
What about the board game Clue?
Oh,
Clue would be fun. Clue.
Yeah, it plays bets on the weapons, room, suspects, elimination style table.
That'd be fun. And we also had a variation, I think it was called Guess Who, which was similar, but a much more watered-down kids version.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a fun game, too. I love
Scrabble?
That.
Did you say Scrabble?
No, I didn't say Scrabble. Yeah, that would be fun.
That'd be fun.
Connect Four? That's a simple one.
I suck so bad at Connect Four. I just don't see it. Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, but I wish they made this a real thing, man.
Uno would be a blast.
That would be fun. Yeah, that would be a lot of fun, mm-hmm. man. Very competitive. Maybe they should do like some type of little TV show or something, just like a small little Uno, like
Uno game.
poker style type game, but with Uno. That'd be fun.
Text line also said Phase 10. That's a good card game too. Phase 10 would be a good one.
I don't know if I played that.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that would definitely be fun. They definitely should put Uno. It's probably some spades, too. It'd be fun to have some spades. Although people probably go to the parking lot and fight. I can't believe you reneged like that. All right, it's the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. I had to look this up. I wasn't sure if this was real or not, but did you see Elmo?
Oh, my gosh, I did.
Yes, that Elmo, the one that's on Sesame Street. Apparently, account got hacked on Twitter.
Boy,
he ended up being pretty opinionated this morning.
Yeah, he picked the side of the fence. I won't display what he had to say.
Yeah,
but I had a couple thoughts about these, man. Mm-hmm. So my first thought was, why the hell Elmo have a Twitter account?
Don't hack Elmo, man. You can hack a lot of people, but don't hack Elmo.
That was my second question. Mm-hmm. But my first question, what I mean, outside the obvious promotional thing,
mm-hmm.
why is Elmo or anybody from Sesame Street on Twitter out of all places?
Oh, they have to be. I think they have to be just because of their brand and people, you know, people want to know, you know, what is Elmo on Twitter? Because if they're not on Twitter and official,
I mean, is Barney on Twitter too?
Probably, I would guess.
Like, I just don't understand the pay because there's no kids on Twitter.
No, but if they didn't do it and make it an official account, somebody else would, and probably have a lot of do a lot of bad stuff with it. Like this, by the way, this Elmo thing. If you read the Elmo tweets that were hacked. In his voice, it's freaking hilarious.
That was actually my third question. Oh, okay. Did anybody else read these tweets in Elmo voice?
Right here. It's so funny.
I haven't even seen these. I gotta try to find these tweets.
Oh my god, it's.
Yeah,
he's opinionated.
He took a side of the fence. he jumped off that fence real fast.
Yeah, he did.
But it was just some kind of crazy, man. I read all those tweets in Elmo voice. I think somebody should use AI somehow and just.
Oh, you know that's coming.
Yeah, just have it read these tweets in Elmo voice. Mm-hmm. I think that would be super entertaining.
There is that meme or GIF, whatever, of Elmo standing like in front of flames.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's very fitting for this scenario.
Nah, that's perfect.
at Dynamite. With an O, Barney, the official Barney Twitter account.
Yeah, like who
there
is?
There you go.
Like who is?
You have to.
Like why though?
Because if you don't do it, and sometimes people may want to. Hey, I wonder what Barney thinks about this. You know,
man, who the hell saying that?
Hey, if you don't do it, somebody else is, and they're going to probably have some fun like this.
If
guy,
that's
these
the
hackers
fair
had.
Point,
if
yeah.
that's
yeah.
the excuse, that's a poor excuse, man. Like, come on, man. All right, I'll get y'all out of here. So I'll get y'all out of here with this. Y'all remember Leila Ali?
Yeah, man.
Leila Ali,
mm-hmm.
former boxer, daughter of the late, great Muhammad Ali.
Mm-hmm.
She addressed some rumors as a recent. I guess it was going around that she was thinking about coming out of retirement to fight Clarissa Shields,
okay.
who's the top women's boxer right now.
Mm-hmm.
She's making a lot of noise right now. This is what she had to say about that rumor.
Clarissa Shields, there's rumors that you're going to come back and fight her. What? Everybody's talking about it, or in the boxing circle.
The rumor that I heard was that I said that unless somebody had 15, 20 million, don't even call me about this. That's all.
Turkey has that money. Turkey's going to set this up. I know it.
Unless somebody calls me and says they have it, we're not even going to have a conversation. I'm not trying to come back and fight, but if someone offered that kind of money, I would actually have to think about it.
I'll talk to Turkey tonight.
Do I look like I can fight again?
Yes, you do.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Hey, I like her honesty.
Yeah. So do you think she, like, would you watch, first of all, would you watch this fight if she came out of retirement to fight?
Probably not. I'd probably look at a couple of Twitter highlights, yeah, and that's about it.
Yeah, same.
Now, do you think she should if somebody did offer her that?
100%.
Now, she haven't fought, I want to say, since, like, 2007.
Mike Tyson fought at 80 years old.
Yeah, but it didn't look, I get, like, who am I? If you have a chance to make money, go make the money. And everyone has a price to do it. But there's also something about, like, just ruining that image that people have or that romanticize. Like, watching Tyson get out there in the ring at that age was a kind of a tough watch.
And sure it was.
Man, where's the Mike Tyson I used to watch, and the one I think about in my mind? This is one just kind of sad. Yeah. It's like when you look at your parents or your grandparents and suddenly you realize, like, how old they actually are. And it's like, it's kind of it's kind of sad. I don't want to ruin that perception that people have of you as a boxer.
Yeah, it's kind of, I kind of look at it as the integrity at point. Mm-hmm. Like, are you willing to risk all of this? I mean, she ain't risking nothing. She'd be making $15, $20 million, so that ain't nothing to scoff at. Man. But sometimes, I feel like some people just rather stay where they are. They're comfortable where they at. She probably don't need any money.
Yeah.
So, nah, I'm not about to go out there and embarrass myself like that.
Hey, $15 million?
I know. How can you turn
that
down?
That's what
I'm
saying. Like, I don't want to be that person. Like, no, I'll turn it down $15 million. But what is the point where you say, man, nah, I'm not doing. Those days are over. I'm happy where I am now.
If I don't need $15 million. That's the point.
I know. $15 million for one night of work? My goodness. That's right. All right. I wouldn't blame her. I would do that, too. Forget what I just said about Mike Tyson and everyone else. That's Figgy's mixtape, which you can hear at this time each and every day on In the Loop. When we come back, we'll catch up with the fellas of The Drive. But also, was there more salt in the wound over the weekend for the Astros and their whole medical fiasco? We'll talk about that next In the Loop. Luke Morrow in for Reggie, who will return tomorrow. It's been a pleasure filling in the meantime, hanging out with John Lopez and Figgy Fig here on In the Loop.
You've done a bang-up job.
Oh, I appreciate
it. Man, you did an amazing job, man.
Well, thank you very much. You guys make it easy. It's always fun being in on this show. Always fun and a good time. And I look forward to Reggie returning tomorrow. You can always text the show, 713-572-4610. By the way, there's some Astro stuff I want to try to sneak in before we get to the crosstalk with the fellas of The Drive. But I do have to bring this up because someone else is coming after our guy, the OG, again here around this station.
Oh, really?
Yeah, last week.
What?
Last week you got framed.
Framed.
For leaving the coffee mugs. We determined that that was not you.
Right.
And it was Sean Bajani, who then took the fall later and off air. And said he found it funny that you got blamed for it instead of him.
Yeah.
Well, I happened to be listening to Area 45 Friday night, and Bajani said that he was very upset that the Houston Chronicle put out an article about the Astrodome and what they're going to do with it. And he was saying, why are we doing this article now? What are we talking about? But he also said he went back to look at the podcast notes from our show on Friday, because he said if anyone's going to bring this up on air and use this stupid article for a topic, it is John Lopez. And he said, I went back through the podcast earlier today. I don't think they talked about it today, but I bet you with the All-Star break and a slow week, he'll bring it up on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And I am here to say, no conversation on or off air, did you ever once mention an article about the Astrodome?
Yeah, I read it. actually, we kind of referenced it quickly on Friday, didn't we?
I don't think so, did we?
Or was it after Friday? Maybe I just was reading it and thinking that I was doing a show.
Maybe we did. I don't know. I don't recall.
But no, we didn't. I think we all know where I stand on this. I think
we all know where
the majority of Houston stands on this as well. Just ask go to the vote. Go to the literal vote. Back in the day. Take that, Sean Bajani.
That's right. We never went to that low-hanging fruit during maybe what some consider to be a slower time. people taking shots at the OG around here.
Yeah, what did I do?
Leaving coffee mugs behind. Taking easy topics, please. I did want to get to this before we hand things off. Couple things about the Astros and, of course, health related. First off, did you guys know, I guess his name's Jeremiah Randall. He's the head athletic trainer for the Astros. He's going to be one of the athletic trainers for the All-Star game tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. Is he going to talk?
I don't know. But, I mean, should he even be, all due respect to the guy, if you're trying to get the best of the best at the All-Star game, are you
picking on a second.
The athletic trainer?
Put that part together.
You need to treat some Tiger players.
Are we taking the athletic trainer from the
Astros? Why don't you go treat the Detroit Tigers and the LA Dodgers while you at it?
So he's an All-Star.
Technically, I guess so.
Astros athletic trainer. All-Star.
Yeah.
Based on what?
I don't know. Based on no one else wanted.
Based
to
on
do
the
it,
record, man.
What? Yes. Tell me about the record.
The wins, the loss record, man. What you talking about, man? It's a 10 game. What you talking about, man?
Oh my gosh,
Jeremiah. I'm sure you're a great guy, but while you're there, get your hands on the big dumper. See what you can see what you can do with that guy.
Hey, does your elbow hurt? No. Do you want it to?
Elsewhere in injuries related sort of news, Alex Bregman returned this weekend to the Red Sox. You might not care, but I did find it interesting. The original diagnosis was 12 weeks for his return. He returned in 7 weeks, and he also returned 3 weeks quicker than when he was with the Astros and suffered a similar, if not same, injury.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill or anything, but I just found it interesting, maybe kind of funny, too, that A, Bregman returned earlier than expected on another team, and also B, it was a quicker return than, like I said, kind of the same injury when he was here in Houston a couple years ago.
Yeah, look, I think this is, I don't know if it is a thing, but I think it could become a thing with, you know, obviously where we are with the Astros. We know that their issues are, what their issues are, and I mentioned this kind of briefly last week as well. I think it was actually on the air, not in my mind, on the weekend. But it's going to take former players like Bregman. I'm not saying he's going to do it, but the former players like Bregman saying, hey, you know what? There was some things going on that I was a little skeptical about in Houston. It's going to take maybe a former coach or manager or something to say something similar before the league or the MLBPA gets involved. But none of that has happened just yet. But you're right. A little bit interesting that he got better a lot quicker in Boston.
Yeah. Came back 7 weeks after they originally said 12. I do find it interesting that, you know, Kyle Tucker's having a really good year. And I do think at least, you know, Bregman was having a really good year. And then he got injured, so that's a little different. But I remember when Tucker started the season, because the Cubs started the season against the Dodgers on TV, playing in, in Japan? They played somewhere, you know, in another country. And, just the idea of like, oh, man, I almost had the feeling of like always going to track Kyle Tucker. And we were always going to be talking about what are these other guys doing elsewhere?
Yeah.
And now it's almost at the point where you're in that new relationship and you're really happy with your new significant other that you stop looking at the ex's Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've been so pleased with Cam Smith and Isak Paredes that there really is no talk around here of like, oh, man, Kyle Tucker has a 900 OPS. Like, you don't really, even Bregman, you don't really miss those guys anymore because of the success of the new pieces you brought in. And I just found that interesting because I heard Seth and Sean talking about it, about that idea of like, man, we used to have like a daily tracker of what is Kyle Tucker doing. Now we've gotten to the point where like, it doesn't matter because we're happy with the guys we have here.
I agree with you. And clearly, you know, Astros fans should be happy with the guys that are here, but it is also July. Let's see what happens down the stretch.
That's fair.
Anything potentially in the postseason, et cetera, because that's when things don't go your way and they go their way, some fans might be going, hey, could have used him.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, something along those lines.
Dana Brown talked on the flagship yesterday with a bunch of injury updates. They might get to more of these quotes on the drive coming up, but a few stood out. And I did like, well, I shouldn't say liked, but the one about Yordan where he said he's going to be reevaluated on Thursday. And Dana Brown says, I think once that's over, the doctor could potentially clear him to start swinging the bat. As long as Yordan feels good, we're going to try to expedite his return.
No kidding.
Which kind of concerns me because I feel like they've already tried that a couple times and it's led to setbacks. But then he also says Yordan has, quote, absolutely no pain in his hand. So I guess that part's kind of promising.
Is it?
It's promising as it can be when it comes to Astros' injuries and the PR.
So how much of that do you believe?
Not much at all. Very little. The no pain in the hand. I don't. Last we heard, he could grip the bat, but he couldn't swing the bat. So right. That was only like a week ago.
Swinging the bat can be pretty important.
Yeah. So if you have no pain in the hand, I would think you'd be able to swing the bat. Okay. Yeah.
I can't believe it. And then he's talking about Jake Myers.
Yeah.
3 weeks minimum. At this point. There's not a whole lot until you see him on the field actually contributing and doing something.
For sure. I mean, I think Taylor Trammell had a similar injury, and it cost him the first 3 months of the season. So. Mm-hmm.
I do know everything about this guy.
That's my guy. That's right. So, anyways, we'll see what it means for Jake Myers.